You know, the Israelites had a difficult life in the desert. But can you imagine when the Jordan opened and they walked into the promised land? I was thinking of a song I heard once. The lyrics go like this. But just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven. Jesus comes and you're there and finding it heaven. Of touching a hand and finding it God's. Can you imagine touching the hand of God? Of breathing new air and finding it celestial. Of waking up in glory and finding it home. My dear friend, there's a wonderful home awaiting us. My prayer is that you and I will be there. Where did the water that quenched Israel's thirst begin to flow for the first time? Did the water miracle of Horeb, that's where it started to flow, and Rephidim continue for the rest of the journey? Yes. During the 40 years in that vast and barren and waterless desert, God continued to perform water miracles. Wherever they encamped, the miracle happened by speaking. Moses just spoke to the rock, and water would gush forth like a river. And he only had to speak to the rock. It was Christ, by the power of his word, that caused the refreshing stream to flow for Israel. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. What a beautiful illustration to appreciate God a little better. He was the source of all temporal as well as spiritual blessings. Christ was the true rock, was with them in all their wanderings, and is with us in all our vicissitudes in life. Listen to Isaiah's beautiful description of the rock and the water. And they did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow from the rock for them. He also split the rock and the waters gushed out. Can you imagine this? And then Psalms 105:41 says, he opened the rock. This is tremendous. He just break that rock with his power. And then the psalmist says, and water gushed out. It ran in the dry places like a river. The Sinai desert, which never saw rivers, saw it when God took his people through that place. What mighty, caring, loving miracles. This is our God. They listened to the music of these rivers throughout their 40 years in the wilderness. Have you ever listened to the beautiful music produced by a flowing river? Can you see these huge rivers flowing from these majestic rocks? If I was a youngster in those days, I would have swam in those miracle waters. What can we learn from the smitten rock? Because everything is so beautifully symbolic in the Bible. The smitten rock was a figure of Christ. Did you get it? The smitten rock was a figure of Christ. You know, Jesus is the center of the entire Bible. He presents himself by different images. So the smitten rock was a figure of Christ. And through this symbol, the most precious spiritual truths are taught. Loretta, how do you think the rock presented Jesus? Listen to her explanation. Dad, as the waters flowed from the smitten rock, so from Christ smitten of God on Calvary, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, flows a stream of salvation for us lost sinners. So when you read the Old Testament, reading about water gushing from the rock, God wants you to go to Calvary and see those healing streams of blood that cleanse us. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilt and sin. There's hope for us. How much did Jesus the rock endured when he was smitten on Calvary? And remember, God smote him. And that will be the study of eternity. The curriculum of eternity will be the story of salvation. As the rock had been once smitten, so Christ was to be once offered to bear the sins of many. Our Savior was not to be sacrificed a second time. This is important to remember. We only have to seek blessings of His grace in the name of Jesus. We should pour out our heart's desire in penitential prayer. He already paid the price. Such prayer will present the wounds of Jesus before the Father, the Lord of hosts. Then the life-giving blood, symbolized by the flowing of the living water for Israel, will flow afresh. This is the Jabbok River. Please have another look at the peaceful rivers where you live or wherever you go. Just take a minute to listen to the message of the water. They echo messages from long ago. Messages of hope. This is the message of a river. The flowing of the waters from the rock in the desert was celebrated by the Israelites after their establishment in Canaan with demonstrations of great rejoicing. In the time of Christ, this celebration had become a most impressive ceremony. Let's look at it. It took place on the occasion of the Feast of Tabernacles. You can read about this in the Bible. When the people assembled at Jerusalem. And here's a friend of mine at Siloam drinking water. On each of the 7 days of the feast, priests went out with music. Not without music, but with music. And the choir of Levites. And I once listened to the cantor and the choir at Jerusalem at the great synagogue. It's so beautiful, singing songs of salvation. The choir of Levites to draw water in golden vessel. In a golden vessel from the spring of Siloam. And you know, every time I visit Siloam in Jerusalem, I think of what happened here. Just imagine the singing, the choirs, and then the golden vessel scooped up water. They were followed by multitudes of worshippers, as many as could get near the stream and drinking of it, while the jubilant melodies of the choirs fill the air. How does the prophet Isaiah describe the symbolism of the water? Isaiah 12, verse 3. It's such a beautiful book. Please read it. With joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. What is the next item in the drama of the feasts of the tabernacle? Then the water drawn by the priests was borne to the temple. It was a beautiful temple, amid the sounding of trumpets and the solemn chant. Music, music, music. Listen to the lyrics. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Can you appreciate the jubilant musical spirit in which it took place? What were the priests to do with the water they fetched at Siloam? Listen to this. The water was poured out upon the altar of burnt offering. In the time of Solomon, in the time of Christ, it was very huge. While this was all happening, the people sang songs of praise. The musical instruments and trumpets blended with their voices. What a moment. If you had lived at the time of Christ, you would have seen Jesus at the feast. All eyes were on him. Do you think he would make an appeal to all the people at this feast, at this time? He's always making appeals to my heart and your heart. And whenever he mixed with people, he made appeals. And we should make appeals as well. On the last day of this great Feast of Tabernacles, and most important day in the festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, they could hear his voice from a distance, listen to his message, and may it echo to your heart and mine as well. Whoever is thirsty, and we are thirsty, should come to me. What an invitation for thirsty people. And whoever believes in me should drink. He is the water of life, and he invites us to drink him. This all happened while the water were poured on the altar of the burnt offering. The music, sound of water, and the voice of Jesus. What a celestial moment. As the scripture says, Jesus always referred to the scriptures, the Old Testament. Don't underestimate the theological beauty of the Old Testament. As the scripture says, streams of living water will pour from his side. Jesus said this about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were going to receive. You know, my dear friend, I desperately need the life-giving waters of the Holy Spirit to be poured into my life. What a beautiful, meaningful feast to celebrate Jesus, the one who quenches our thirst. And if you are thirsty, by the way, he wants to quench your thirst. Refreshing water welling up in a parched land, causing the desert to blossom and flowing out to give life to the perishing as an emblem of the divine grace which Christ alone can bestow, not by works, but by grace. His grace is like living water, purifying, refreshing, and invigorating the soul. My dear friend, only Jesus can quench our thirst, cleanse our hearts, and empower us to resist our sinful, selfish desires. I once visited Old Faithful in the United States. You can time this Old Faithful. He comes up at certain timing, he goes down. And standing here at Old Faithful, a thought came to me. He in whom Christ is abiding, as within him, Christ abides in us, in him a never-failing fountain of grace and strength to bless others. You know, people need to be blessed, and God wants us to be the people who blesses those who are seeking for a blessing. Give a compliment. Give a word of sympathy wherever you go. God sees our footprints. I took this picture on the way they traveled. This place is called Wadi Rum. God sees our footprints of pain, conflict, in the desert of sin, seeking in vain to quench our thirst. There is no quenching of our thirst in sin. There's no quenching of first in sinning. He alone can quench your thirst. So if you've wasted a life seeking for quenching your thirst, try Christ. This is a place at Nablus in Israel, the ancient biblical Shechem. And this place is important to me because Jesus was here. He came to quench the thirst of the most wicked woman at Shechem. She was trying to quench her thirst with men. Ladies, if you think your husband can quench your thirst, you're making a mistake. Only Jesus can. She came here at midnight to midday to avoid the company of the ladies of the town because they were so scared of her and they detested her. I drank the water and I thought of that beautiful song, like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. But then I heard my Savior saying, drink from my well, a well that never runs dry. Fill my cup, Lord, fill my cup, Lord. It's a beautiful song. You can look at it again or listen to it. Jesus answered her and said, those who drink this water, that's the water from the well of Jacob, will get thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. God wants to give us the greatest joy. Let's make use of his offer. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring which will provide them with life-giving water and give them eternal life. Do you want eternal life? Jesus has got it. Loretta says, his love, received into the heart, not only in the mind, will spring up in good works until eternal life. I took this picture at Petra. Can you see what's happening here? A wealthy lady embracing a poor Bedouin child. She brought some happiness to this little one and gave her a present. This is what we should do. There are so many lonely people, broken people. Give them a hug. The Lord is my protector. He is my strong fortress. My God is my protection, and with him I am safe. He provides more than water. He provides protection. What a God. What a God. Let's meditate upon him more and more. You are my refuge. Not only my refuge, and defense. Guide me and lead me as you have promised. Psalms 31, verse 3. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. I once visited Georgia while the Russians were invading Georgia. There was no transport. Eventually we got an old car and he took us through Georgia. And then we stopped at the river. And you know, when I stopped at this river in Georgia on my way to Armenia, I experienced the message of Psalms 23. He leads me beside still waters. When the Russians invade, when the enemy invades your life, run to the water called Jesus Christ and experience peace. Now, I went to Laodicea. The Bible says the water is lukewarm. It's nauseous. And I tried it. I had to spit it out. Try some of the waters of pleasure and you give them drink. From the river of your pleasures. River means a lot of it. For with you is the fountain of life. My friend, get your water from him. This is another interesting sight in Jericho. The story of Elisha. The water was bitter. And God said to Elisha, tell the people to put salt in the water. And it became fresh. And every time I come there, I taste the sweet water. It's still sweet. And you know, we too should just disappear into the multitudes of people and be some of the salt to sweeten their bitter waters. To Jeremiah, Christ is the fountain of living waters. Poor Jeremiah. To Zechariah, a fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. And the verses of Scripture. Isaiah describes him as the rock of ages and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Beautiful poetry. Isaiah records the precious promise, bringing vividly to the mind the living streams that flowed for Israel in the desert. So many of the scriptures take you to the desert. God wants us to learn lessons from the desert, and that's why we're presenting this series on the Exodus. Isaiah 41 verse 17. Just look at the vastness of the desert in this picture. The poor and needy search for water. Not only the physical water, but the living water. But there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. But I, the Lord, will give them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. Water also symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 35 verse 6. Then will the lame leap like a deer. Have you seen this? And the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. We're all going through the deserts of life. God wants to give us his waters of kindness. The invitation is given. Come, come, come. All you are thirsty, come to the waters. The cost, the money you've got to pay? No, without price, says the Bible. And in the closing pages of the sacred word of God, this invitation is echoed. The river of the water of life, clear, not polluted, clear as crystal, proceeds from the throne of God and the Lamb. And the gracious call is ringing down through the ages. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. My dear friend, if you drink of the water of salvation now, you will drink one day the waters of life in a land without pain and thirst. But how does God view my sins? We all worry about this. In Macbeth, one of the poems of the great poet. He speaks about this lady who tried to wash her hands. She had blood on her hands. I've disappointed him so many times, you say, but his love and forgiveness always transcend our guilt and our mess, our sin. Don't let the devil keep you away from God because of your past or present. Go to him for salvation. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin. Zin, Sinai, Zin. And they stayed at Kadesh. Kadesh means holy. Kadosh in Hebrew. Then Miriam died and was buried. You know, God takes time to tell us about the death of people. And if you've lost a loved one, God knows about this. Here we find another Kadesh. Where exactly is this located? I did some interesting research here. I was so worried in the beginning, but because it mentions two Kadeshes. So where's the last one? Let me share what I've discovered. The Bible says, Deuteronomy 1 verse 2, it takes 11 days to go from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by the Mount of Seir Road. Here we get a clue. This is not the first Kadesh. This is another one next to Edom. The other one was close to Egypt. This one is close to present-day Jordan. Loretta, where are these Seir Mountains? And where is the second Kadesh? We have to read the Bible, she told me. And look at the Bible verses about Seir. So, let's do it. It says here, Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. So the Bible says Seir and Edom are the same place. Now, where was Jacob at this stage? He was up at the Jabbok River. And this is the Jabbok River. This is where he wrestled with his so-called enemy, but it was Christ. Now, where does this exhausted old man sit? On the Seir Mountains, where the Edomites lived, and where another Kadesh is also situated. Kadesh means holy, as I mentioned before, and there are more than one places in the scriptures called Kadesh. Kadosh in Hebrew, holy place. Usually people worshipped at the Kadesh places. The Seir Mountain range is on the eastern side of the Arabah and ran all the way from the Dead Sea almost to Aqaba at the Red Sea. Here's my friend Walter and myself and a guide exploring. So wonderful to explore. Now let's explore the area and see what was excavated here at the specific place where Israel camped just before they could have entered the promised land. And here you have some info. We don't have time to read it, but the place is called Albaida. Archaeologists tell us that in the distant past, people used to camp here. So we have the evidence of human habitation at this place. It was here at the Seir Mountains at Albaida, Kadesh, where Moses and Israel arrived, close to the border. We're anxiously waiting for the spade of the archaeologist to bring some more news about this very important Neolithic site. Ancient stones cry out to tell their stories of long ago. And maybe we should listen to a few stones telling us the story of this place. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. This was quite a long stay. There Miriam died and was buried. This would be in Abib, later called Nisan, the Hebrew names for the months, when the grass was still green. So what is this Abib or Nisan called in our calendar? It would be the dry month of May or June. This was the 40th year of the wilderness wanderings, the last year. So it's a dramatic year, and the Bible gives us a lot of info concerning this 40th year. Here we see Albaida, Bedouin, sheep. So they were here grazing their sheep at Albaida. The people of Israel apparently remained in Kadesh several months at this stage, according to the research I did. Partly because of good pasture for the animals and partly because of the death of Miriam. They usually stopped when a celebrity died. In the case of Moses, 30 days. Case of Aaron, 30 days. We don't know exactly how long they stayed when Miriam died. But this is why the stay at Kadesh is so important. Now, Miriam was about 130 years old when she died, and according to Josephus, she was buried here at At-Dir. So you see the tower in the distance there. That's At-Dir, the modern monastery of Petra. This is up north. Let's quickly locate the place where Aaron, her brother, died. You know, I like to do this. I visit cemeteries. I learn such a lot from the inscriptions on the tombs. The path to Aaron's tomb is dangerous and takes about 3 hours to get there on donkey. But it's worth going up there if ever you visit Petra. Go and visit the tomb of Aaron. This mosque on top of Mount Hor near Petra commemorates the site where Aaron died. He died 4 months after the death of Miriam, his sister. Just 4 months. At the age of 123 years. Quite an old man. Loretta, how old was Moses when he died 11 months later? And she's standing here on top of Mount Nebo, where he died. Character can only develop when tested by trials. And we have to choose between two B's, mutter or better. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. Can you hear the same music? And guess what the people said when they saw the mountains of the promised land in a distance? No water here, but the God who sustained us these 40 years will continue to provide water. We will buy water from Edom as Moses told us. We believe the promises of God that we will get water in a short while. The Lord honored their faith and they marched into Edom where they bought water. A mighty chorus was heard saying, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." And the mountains and the valleys echoed and re-echoed the sounds of praise. Walking at this historic site, I so wished it was true. And what about the trials of life, yours and mine? Their murmurings were recorded. Watch out. Our murmurings are also recorded. Why was their water supply that flowed for 40 years suddenly cut off? And why do our streams of joy at times being cut off in a second? This happened to you, it will happen again. What are the lessons we've got to learn here, my dear friend? They were but a little distance from Edom, which belonged to the descendants of Esau. The route to Canaan was through Edom. That was a shortcut. Listen to God's directions to Moses. And the Lord spoke to me, saying, "You have skirted this mountain long enough. Turn northward and command the people, saying, 'You are about to pass through the territory of your brethren, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. Therefore, watch yourselves carefully.'" I like God reminding me to be careful in life. And this is what he said, do not meddle with them. Think you are strong and important. For I will not give you any of their land. No, not so much as one footstep, because I've given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall buy food from them with money." And they had lots of money. "That you may eat, And you shall also buy water from them with money that you may drink. Remember, they were loaded with gifts from the Egyptians when they left. Now, these directions should have been sufficient to explain why their supply of water had been cut off. They were about to pass through a well-watered, fertile country in a direct route to the land of Canaan. So, here was a test. Just before they entered into Edom, where they had to buy their water and food, God closed the tap. No water. What's going to happen? There are many waters, rivers in Jordan. Here's just two of them. This is Wadi Aza, also water. Wadi Al-Yabis. There are many, many streams. Unbelievable. And that's why the Lord said, I'm going to stop the water. You can drink fresh mountain water. God had promised them an unmolested passage through Edom and an opportunity to purchase sufficient food and water. This was God's promises. If you doubt these promises, my friend, you'll have a problem. The cessation of the miraculous flow of water should therefore have been a cause of rejoicing, a token that the wilderness wanderings was ended. It's just over here that we will buy water. Had they not been blinded by their willful unbelief, they would have understood this. I need to feel pain at times. Pain purifies. Pain reminds you of many things. And sometimes we have to do with discomforts in life. Israel failed to do it. They could have been without water for a day or two, and then lots of water, pure water. This is some of the water that still flows at Wadi Musa. Loretta, at one of the many water sources in ancient Edom, modern Jordan. It's still flowing today. Now, the custom there is that Moses hit the rock here. I don't believe it, but it reminds you of what happened. But that which should have been an evidence of their fulfillment of God's promise was made the occasion of doubt and murmuring. Don't doubt God if the water is not flowing right now, my friend. He will open the tap just now. Hang on. The people seem to have given up all hope. Just a day without water. Given up all hope that God would bring them into possession of Canaan, and they clamored for the blessings of the wilderness. What a patient God. What a rebellious ass. Have you given up all hope of ever entering and getting to heaven? That's not your business. Leave this to God. If you have given all hope up to go to heaven, God does not. He wants you there. He's already built you mansions, beautiful places. In our next lecture, we will discover God's passion to save us and His fairness in dealing with our weaknesses. I love the music and the lyrics of the song. There are days, I know, when you get so discouraged. It seems that all hope is gone. But there's only one who can give you courage and strength to carry on. Never give up. Never give up. Jesus is coming. It's the darkness just before dawn. Never give up. Jesus is coming. Never give up. Keep holding on. This old world, I know, can't last much longer. And sin will soon pass away. But my faith in God simply keeps growing stronger. For Jesus is coming someday. Never give up. Jesus is coming. It's the darkest just before dawn. Never give up. Jesus is coming. My friend, never give up. Keep holding on. Father in heaven, sometimes the fountains of earthly pleasures dry up. But thank you for supplying waters to quench our thirst. Help us never to give up. In Jesus' name, amen.